May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 8. Great God, my Maker and my King, of Thee I'll speak, of Thee I'll sing. All Thou hast done and all Thou dost, declare Thee good, proclaim Thee just. Hymn number 8.
Let us read from God's holy word. Luke chapter 11 and the first 36 verses. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 11 from verse 1 to 36. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive every one that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, He casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Wherefore shall they be your judges? But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, and his goods are in peace, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armour wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest. And finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him 7 other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, This is an evil generation. They seek a sign. And there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall the Son of Man be to his generation, to this generation. The Queen of the South shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. May the Lord now help us in prayer. O Lord, almighty and most gracious God, we do pray for thy favour upon us now, that we might come before thee in holy reverence, godly fear, to come before thee humbly, seeking to learn of thee, to worship thee, to give thee the honour and glory. And, O Lord, help us. O Lord, the many cares of this life, the many snares and the wretchedness of our sinful heart, a tempting devil would turn us aside. But, O Lord, we do pray by thy Holy Spirit. We do pray that thou wouldst help us this day, that we may come rightly before thee, to worship thee, to hear, to give that attention unto thy word in faith, believing it to be truly thy word, inspired by God the Holy Spirit. And, O Lord, do give us ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. O Lord, how we need that increase of faith. O Lord, do increase our faith. But, O Lord, we would thank and praise thee that we have thy word before us, that we have been brought unto this place once more to worship thee. And, O Lord, if there be any here that are not here with a thankful heart, but with a resentful or a proud heart or an indifferent heart, whether they be young or old, O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst be pleased to send by thy gracious Spirit that word of powerful word of reproof, that thou wouldst reprove them of sin, bring unto their understanding that there is a judgment, and thy judgment shall be righteous, perfectly pure and holy, and we who are unrighteous must, except we be in Christ Jesus, we have no hope. How can we stand before thy throne, O Lord, except we be clothed in the precious righteousness of Christ, washed in his precious blood? No, Lord, if there's any indifference in our hearts here now, as we've come to read thy word, O Lord, do deliver us, we pray. that we might not be careless in hearing, dismissive in hearing, proud in hearing, but we may come humbly. To this man will I look. He that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. And, O Lord, may we be so. For, O Lord, thou art high and lifted up. Thou art the creator of heaven and earth, yet thou dost look in mercy upon poor sinners. Thou art the friend of sinners, O Lord Jesus. O Lord, we would praise thee. And, O Lord, grant that grace and that anointing to bring forth these truths. Do touch my lips with a live coal from off thine heavenly altar, that, O Lord, there may be thy blessing to rest upon that which we hope to speak, and that which we have read of the pure and holy word of God. O Lord, do give us ears to hear, and an understanding heart, and an obedient heart. O Lord, do come down from heaven. O Lord, it is not of my strength to convey these things, but, O Lord, do clothe the word with power of the Spirit, that there may be those almighty signs in the lives and hearts of those that hear. And, O Lord, we would praise thee for thy goodness and mercy, that we have thy word in a pure, holy word before us, a more sure word of prophecy. And thou hast granted us that excellent translation in our language. O Lord, we thank thee and praise thee. Now, if we take these things for granted, indifferent, O Lord, do, as it were, light a candle aflame in our hearts, that we might burn, there might be that burning of holy zeal unto thee within, that we might truly esteem the word that we have before us as a great treasure, and that we may esteem thee, O Lord Jesus, the eternal word, the word made flesh that dwelt among us, that we may behold thy glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Do, O Lord, help our friends, the deacons here, in all their responsibility. Do help them in the giving out and the choosing of the hymns this day. And, O Lord, that they may come with power, and in the singing of them there may be a blessing unto us each. And, O Lord, we would pray for the friends here in the church and congregation. We would pray for them each, that thou wouldst be pleased to favour them, bless them in their souls. Bless the children and the young people, that thou mightest be pleased to teach them and to keep them and to lead them in the right way, the way that leadeth unto everlasting life. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst help any in trouble, in distress, in pain or in loneliness or in sorrow, disappointment, that thou wouldst be pleased to help them, undertake for them. O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest guide the perplexed, strengthen them, lift up the downcast. O Lord, do send thy precious truth into the hearts of those that are truly seeking. For, O Lord, thy promise is, ask, and thou shalt receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst abundantly bless those that are truly seeking thee for mercy. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst be pleased to look in mercy upon the churches and this nation. O Lord, many of thy servants have been laid aside, or with illness. We would especially remember thy servant Timothy Hope, that he may be strengthened, granted that light in his darkness, that upholding, that blessing abundantly, that he may be delivered to come forth and yet proclaim thy word. And others of thy servants who are labouring in weakness, in old age, in affliction, and some perhaps unknown to ourselves, laid aside at this time, O Lord, do help them. Oh, we do pray and beg, O Lord, that the word may once more come with power in our churches. O Lord, we would be desire to be repentant over our sins. O Lord, we see many evidences, have seen many evidences of the withdrawing of the Spirit, yet thou art merciful. We have seen the evidences of the blessing of the Spirit in our midst in recent days and weeks and months, in the bringing forth of those to profess thy name and go through the water of baptism, and not just to speak of those things, but to have experienced thy abundant blessing in recent weeks and months and in the ministry. O Lord, it is of all of thy mercies that thou dost grant us such favours. But O Lord, we do see so many words set forth, thy word read, thy word preached. But where is the blessing, as in former generations in this land? Yet thou hast not utterly withdrawn from us. O Lord, we pray in mercy, do come again, that the word may be applied with the power of the Spirit. And O Lord, that there may be those from outside, even in this village, those that live nearby, that walk past, go past, know of the chapel. Oh, that they may be those that would be wrought upon by thy Holy Spirit to truly seek thee, to seek to know the truth, to be brought within the walls to hear the words of eternal life. O Lord, we do pray there may be a blessing, an abundant blessing, and ascending forth from this place of the testimony of the blessed mercy and grace and love of the Lord Jesus Christ through his shed blood and death upon the cross to the church. O Lord, we do pray for thy mercy upon this nation. O Lord, in mercy, look upon us, for only the power of the gospel can do us any good. Yet thou hast spared us, we have seen, of the terrible disaster upon Japan. And O Lord, many swept away in a moment. And O Lord, why is England, why is Britain spared? Oh, it is of thy mercies. And O Lord, we are no less guilty, yea, more guilty. We have the word in our land. We have been blessed in many generations. Yet we have turned our backs upon thee. And O Lord, may there be that opening of blind eyes to see that thy righteous judgments, as it were, upon us. And O Lord, it is of only thy mercies that they are withheld. And O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst be pleased to help any that are in distress in those places affected by that terrible earthquake, and that there may be those that may seek thee and call upon thy holy name, even in that land of much darkness spiritually. And O Lord, if there be any of thy people in the midst of these disasters, that they may be truly helped and strengthened, may be unto them a sanctified trial. Likewise, we pray concerning the turmoil in North Africa and in Libya, that any of thy people there may be preserved. But, O Lord, in these things we do pray, it might rather fall out to the furtherance of the gospel, that there may be those openings for the word of truth to enter into those dark places under the iron grip of Islam. But, O Lord, thou art able to break the hand of the tyrant, and to break the hand of those that would oppress. O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest be pleased to favour in the sending forth of thy word even to those places, as thou hast favoured us here. And now, O Lord, do help us as we come to thy word and to worship thee once more. May we truly be of those that worship thee in spirit and in truth. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn number 403. Calm every gracious heart that loves the Saviour's name. Your noblest powers exert to celebrate his fame. Tell all who fear the Lord below the debt of love to him you owe. Hymn 403.
Oh,
May the Lord help us to consider this morning, particularly Luke chapter 11 and verse 28. Luke chapter 11 and verse 28. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. The one who spoke these words is the eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. That is the Word. The creator of heaven and earth. And before we dare pass over the word of God quickly, carelessly, indifferently, or as if it didn't apply to us, let us remember it is the word of God, our creator. The one before whom we are assembled in public worship. Of whose judgments we have sung. Whose power and honour and glory. Now our text begins with the word but. The verse before, there was one in the company of people that were around Jesus, hearing his words, seeing the wonderful works in which he did. And one, a certain woman of the company, lifted up her voice, and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou sucked. Saying, blessed is the mother of Jesus, to give honour and glory to her. The Lord Jesus Christ immediately says, but he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. The eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the brightness of the glory of God the Father. To him be the honour and the glory. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a most highly favoured woman to bear the Lord Jesus Christ. But she refers to the Lord as her Saviour. She is a sinner, in need of a Saviour. The Lord will not give his honour and glory to any other. We read of when those fell and worshipped Jesus. When they fell at his feet and worshipped him, the Lord didn't reprove them. The Lord received that worship. But when one would give honour and glory to his mother, he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Let us then, as we come to this verse, seek none else but the glory, honour and glory of God. And our Lord Jesus Christ, who is God manifest in the flesh, that we have ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. As we come here with the word of God before us, and myself desiring in weakness to speak the word, may you look beyond the man in the pulpit, but unto the glorious man, the Lord Jesus Christ. God manifest in the flesh, now in glory, at the right hand of the Father. A great snare it is when we look to the minister. Yes, that honour so far as it goes, and that respect is to be given to those that are called of God into the office of the ministry or the diaconate in the church. But woe unto us if we give more heed unto the man than to Christ, more heed to the minister than the word of God. So let us come to this, but he said, the he is the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal word of God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. There was not anything made without the word of God in creation. Every creating act, and God said. And there were no empty words in creation either. We do not read of the Lord saying something and it didn't happen. He didn't speak anything and it wasn't created. There are no empty words in the word of God that are not important to us, that are not relevant to us. That we can say, well, that was for others and not for me. I mean that in the sense of the commandments of God, the revelation of God. We know that the invitations by the election of grace are to that number that no man can number. Those invitations are particular, they're special. But dare we say that the word of God that we have before us is not relevant to me? Parts of it are not relevant? When the word came in Genesis chapter 1 in creation, where there was every word, there was our creation accomplished and it was good. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And there we find in the opening chapter of Genesis, and so often And I'm continuing to see it in the ministry. That opening chapter in Genesis, such fundamental blessed principles there. And we have here that principle that the word of God is powerful. There are no empty words. Every word was effectual. Every word brought forth that which was good, very good. That which came from the word was ordered. And here is a principle that we must prayerfully meditate upon. Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. That the word of God is not sent forth that we should just hear it and not keep it. That we should just hear the word of God and there be no power, no change, no difference. So let us come carefully to this word. Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Let us come immediately to the power, for without the power of God, we cannot hear. We might hear outwardly. We hear the words. Each one of us understands English and can hear the words, understand the words in one sense. But without the work of God the Spirit in the heart, we shall never truly understand spiritually. To understand that it is the very word of God before us. To know that one day that we must stand before the word, Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, every one of you, every one of us will one day stand before that great white throne. And on that great day, when time shall end, the Lord shall return riding upon that great, that white horse, as we have revealed in the book of Revelation. And he'll have that title, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that title, the Word of God. And each one of us must give an account of that. And oh, that our hearts may be opened to truly understand that we must give an account. It is only the power of the Spirit that can open our hearts to see that and to feel and to know the holiness of God's Word, the iniquity of our own hearts, our perverseness, our crookedness, our rebelliousness by nature, our sin, which is transgression of the holy law of God, the Word of God declared from Mount Sinai. Oh, that God, the Holy Spirit, may come in our midst, in your heart, in my heart, if we do not know it, to know it for the first time, and if we do know it, to know it more, that we have before us God's Word, that we must give an account as to how we have heard it. And that applies to children as well as the oldest amongst us. There's no giving in of an account. Face to face. There before the throne of God. But what a mercy it is when the power of God comes by God the Holy Spirit, to give a new heart, a heart that does understand, a new spirit that does seek the Lord, that does see the sinfulness of sin. The heart of man is deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? When the Lord gives a new heart, a new spirit, by God the Holy Spirit, then there's an understanding. An understanding that is given. We read that in the Epistle of John, the first epistle, and at the end of chapter 5, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Do you have an understanding that one day you must stand before the Word of God, to give an account of your life before him? And what sort of understanding is it? Is it in the head or in the heart? Isn't it understanding that you have learned in Sunday school or through lessons, or through coming here and hearing the Lord's servant speak? Or is an understanding that has been given you by God the Holy Spirit? Yea, through these things. But if you have an understanding that one day, and it may be sooner than we think, we think of those terrible events in the past few days in Japan. How many were going about their business and there was no warning. No man can predict such an earthquake. And suddenly it came upon so many. And listening to these things on the radio yesterday and travelling here, they were then asking, well, how are things now? And the person reporting was saying, well, people are going back to the public houses and drinking and going about their everyday business and getting back to normal as much as they could. Do any lay this to heart, that such a shaking and such a terrible destruction is as nothing compared with when the Son of God shall come to judge this earth. The heavens shall depart as a scroll, the elements shall burn with fervent heat. We trust that there may be some there that do contemplate spiritually upon these things. But how is it with us? How shall it be with you? If called even this day to stand before God. But he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And when the Lord brings one to truly understand spiritually these things, then there's a very different coming to the house of God, a very different coming to prayer, a very different hearing. An anxious desire, give me Christ or else I die. Is that where you are? Or have known such a place? Or is it, give me this world, give me enough of it that I can enjoy it? Give me a form of religion as well, perhaps. Or deliver me from this place that I may have the fill of this life. The Lord sees your heart and mine, and every thought of it, every intent of the heart, and we must give an account before him. But what a difference when the power comes. Where the word of a king is, there is power. When God the Holy Spirit comes with power, then that which we so much treasured we see as dross and dung. Things that are unclean. Things that are of no value. Rather a condemnation to us. Things that we have idolized. Things that we've worshipped. Things that we've set our hearts upon. Careers that we've wanted to pursue. Friendships that we've desired. Possessions that we've longed after. When the word enters with power into the heart, then we see how valueless those things are compared to the value, as it were, of the soul. What shall we give in exchange? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And when the word enters in with power, when there's a hearing of the word of the Lord with power, then truly there's a keeping of it. And we will speak a little more about what specifically we mean by keeping. For the power is through the power of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not speaking here of a legal power, hearing the word and keeping it and earning one's salvation or favour thereby. The Apostle Paul speaks in one place, for the love of God, the love of Christ constraineth us. It is on account of the love shown. That glorious work of God, the Holy Spirit, is not only to show of judgment to come and to reprove of sin, but to lead to Christ. To lead to the blessed words, the words of eternal life. The word made flesh that dwelt among us. Why was the word made flesh? Why did the Lord Jesus come to be born as the man Christ Jesus at Bethlehem? Why did he come? It was as a saviour. For that name Jesus means saviour. He shall save his people from their sins. And he came in pure love, in pure submission, to the will of God the Father. And he delighted I delight to do thy will, O my God. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, made himself of no reputation, he humbled himself, made obedient to death, even the death of the cross, his love. How powerful that is. The Pharisees couldn't see the power of that love. They saw Jesus crucified and they rejoiced to see him put to such shame. Rejoiced to see, but they'd heard his word and they hated it. They'd heard his words and they despised it. They couldn't refute it. They couldn't trap him in his words, but they hated him. And they rejoiced to see him crucified. And to see the pain inflicted and the suffering and the darkness. Do you see the love of God in Christ Jesus? Well, if you do not, but desire that you might do so. We have in this chapter that we've read so many encouragements to those that would desire to know the blessed love of God in Christ. Christ Jesus. We have here, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And what sort of asking are we talking about here? We're not just talking here about worldly possessions, worldly things. In verse 13 it says, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? The Lord here is speaking of spiritual things, primarily. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The seeking of spiritual things. Are you seeking to know the love of God in Christ Jesus and the power of it? To hear the word. To hear the word with power. Not just to hear the word like the Pharisees did. But to hear the word like Zacchaeus did. To hear the word like the lepers did. That came to him. To hear the word like the one who was paralyzed and couldn't walk, couldn't come to Jesus, but yet he was brought there by faith. And laid at the feet of Jesus. And the Lord forgave his sins. And made him perfectly whole. And there's that blessed testimony given in his healing. And there's a beautiful type there of which our text speaks. There was a hearing of the word and he heard it with power. We truly believe he rejoiced in his soul, even though he was still on that bed of affliction, that the Lord had pronounced the forgiveness of his sins. Thy sins are all forgiven. He beheld, great is thy faith, like the woman who heard such beautiful words to her. Like this man that heard thy words, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. We are certain that he must have felt a holy joy in his soul, although he was yet there laid on a bed of affliction. But that the Lord's name may be honoured and glorified, that there may be that evidence of the forgiveness of sins in front of the unbelievers. The Lord said unto him, take up thy bed and walk. There was a sign that the Lord Jesus Christ had all authority and power to forgive sin. And the man took up his bed and walked and glorified God. Now there in a type we see our text. Those that truly spiritually hear the word of God and know the blessed love and power of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, there's a a rejoicing in that moment, or perhaps the Lord would bring it over more of a period of time to know the joy of forgiveness of sins. But yet we cannot just be laid there. There must be a glorifying of God in our lives, in our bodies. We read of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, and I'd ask your attention to it. Verses 19 and 20 in 1 Corinthians 6. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It doesn't just say glorify God in your spirit. And it doesn't just say glorify God in your body. It says glorify God in your body and in your spirit. There was a glorifying of God in the heart and soul of that man when his sins were forgiven, and truly he would have rejoiced. But there was a glorifying of God in his body, and that he was given that strength so to walk. And so it will be with every true believer. There will be that glorifying of God in our inward meditations and rejoicing and contemplation upon his blessed word, upon his salvation, upon his love, upon the dying love of the Lord Jesus Christ. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Like Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they looked upon him whom they had pierced. But the love of God in Christ Jesus, the dying love, moved them to make that public testimony. They were not ashamed of Christ now, before, that they were going to him in secret. There was that fear of the testimony of Jesus. But now that they had seen Christ's death, his glorious love shed forth in his sufferings on account of their sins and the sins of the redeemed church, shed his precious blood. Now they must own him, must confess their love to him. And they went unto Pilate boldly. That was the power of the Spirit, not of the flesh. They went boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of the Lord. And they showed that love and that honour unto our Lord, the sacred humanity that was there, his sacred human soul in paradise, but the mortal body there. Now that which they did, it was done unto him in love. There was a love for his name. And they wrapped his body in those linen garments, that linen, and put him not in a pauper's grave, but the best sepulchre. Indeed, Joseph Arimathea, his own sepulchre. Couldn't do more for the Lord. His heart was filled with love. And so it is with one who hears the word with power. And hears with power the love of the Redeemer. And the love shown unto them by the Redeemer in shedding his precious blood. It's not illegal seeking to do things to earn salvation, but it flows from love. We are bought with a price. And when by faith we hear with power of the price that was paid, the precious blood of Christ, of the sufferings that he bore on account of our sins. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And that taketh away, the word also have the meaning in the original, which we find in the reference Bible in the margin, beareth. He bore it. He bore the sin of the redeemed world. And the child of God can say, by faith and my sins. He bore them in his body upon the cross. And then when we hear such blessed news of his dying love and his resurrection, declared to be the Son of God with power, that joyful news of the resurrection, that the Lord is risen indeed. Those two that were on the road to Emmaus, although the journey was long and it must have been an arduous day's walking, but did not their hearts burn within them when they heard, when the Lord Jesus Christ opened up the scriptures to their understanding, when he revealed himself, beginning at Moses and all the prophets? He means by that the very beginning of scripture, as we commonly know the book of Genesis as Genesis, but it is also the first book of Moses. Moses and the prophets, all things concerning himself, and their hearts burned within them. No, they did not understand, yet there was that desire in them that this seeming stranger should abide with them. There was an attraction, there was a love unto him. And then the Lord revealed himself to them, and they saw it was the risen Lord. They couldn't settle down. They had to return to Jerusalem and tell the disciples, "We have seen the Lord." He was made known at the breaking of bread. There must be that testimony. Although it must have been a long day, it was nearly night. What strength there is given when we have such a hearing of the word of God. By the power of the Holy Spirit and the precious blood of Christ is known. We may come into the place of worship tired, worn out, confused, perplexed, can't go on anymore, but as it were, we rise up like eagles with wings. Though faint, yet what strength is given. And so it is in deep trial and affliction. Can't go on anymore. No more strength left. No more wisdom left. Almost no more hope left. But when we hear the words of God with power, and the Lord Jesus Christ shows us his precious dying love and his glorious power and his resurrection from the dead, and all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth, therefore go ye. That is spoken particularly in respect to the Great Commission to preach the gospel. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. For the power is his. The authority is his. Is that the hearing that we desire to have when we come to the house of God? It would be well if it is. The Lord is faithful to hear. Let us come perhaps particularly to the yea, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. There is such a fullness in this verse. Fear at the end of the sermon, if spared, there will be so much things that I have not covered. But may we be led out to consider these things. Hear the word of God and keep it. Now let us consider what is not written in Scripture. It doesn't say, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God, full stop. We often speak, and maybe we're a bit careless in these things. We say, what a good hearing I had at chapel. What a good hearing I had through that minister. But has there been a good keeping of that which has been heard? Or did we have a good hearing and then forget about it? If that was so, it certainly was not a good Holy Spirit hearing. I fear too often there's much talk of a good hearing and then a good forgetting afterwards, or a good disobedience afterwards, if such a thing were possible. For truly it is not good, it is wickedness, hypocrisy in God's sight. To say about how good a hearing we had and then to walk the opposite way. Oh, that there was more of the keeping of the word, not in the flesh, but in the spirit. How is it with you? Is there a good keeping of the word as well as a hearing? For if there's only a good hearing and no keeping, we're not consistent with that which the Lord Jesus Christ said. And the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one. Alas, at times we feel there's been a good hearing and there's a lot of warming in the heart, perhaps being taken up with the occasion. Perhaps sometimes in deference to the well-known minister who we've gone to hear in the occasion, and it seems very necessary that we have to say we had a good hearing there. Oh, that there was more of a good keeping. Because where there is a good spiritual hearing by the power of the Holy Ghost, a good hearing of the word, there shall be a good keeping. There we may bring to the test as to whether we've really heard well. And indeed, the test of whether you've heard well this morning, or of heard well the word of God. So I'm speaking here concerning the word of God, not the minister. There are many things that you may have read in the word, or perhaps even this morning, read in the word. The test of whether you have read and heard these things well will be, do you keep it? Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. We have various examples here. We have at the beginning of the chapter, and it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. They'd heard the Lord Jesus Christ's prayer. We notice that must come first before we have a desire to pray. It is on account of our Lord Jesus Christ's work. That glorious prayer we read of in John chapter 17, there is the power. But this disciple, he heard that there Jesus was praying. He said, Lord, teach us to pray. There is a keeping of the word. Do you pray? Do you come unto the Lord and say, Lord, teach me to pray? Is there any prayer at all? Do you pray? And what do you pray concerning? Is there a prayer that the Lord would teach you, would open up the scriptures to your understanding, that you might follow him in the way, that you may keep the word? Well, there's a test. Do you pray that you may keep that which you've heard or read in the word of God, that you may follow in his ways and his footsteps, his commandments in love? There indeed is the beginning of keeping, hearing the word and praying, Lord, help me, Lord, strengthen me. Lord, give me that grace to walk in these things. But remember, we must, as it were, go on further. It doesn't say, blessed are they that hear the word of God and pray that they be given strength to keep it. Yes, those that do keep it will be praying. We cannot keep it without prayer. But Moses, he came to the Red Sea. And the Lord said unto him, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. If we are praying, Lord, help me to walk, if it's a true spiritual prayer, and it's truly from the heart, the Lord answers prayer. We must be ready to walk. There's a time when, like was said unto Moses, it was not any more the time for crying unto the Lord, it was for keeping the word, going forth in his strength. There's that mighty wind that blew, a type of God, the Holy Spirit. For they couldn't just walk into the sea in their own strength. There must be the power of the Spirit to go before them. But remember that. It doesn't say just, blessed are they that hear the word and pray to keep that they might keep it. But it says, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. We have the Queen of the South, the Queen of Sheba, in verse 31. She came unto to Solomon, and she desired to hear, she'd heard of the wisdom of Solomon. In many respects, it is right to say that Solomon is a type of Christ and his glory. David, a type of Christ and his sacred humanity. The Queen of Sheba, she came unto Solomon. A type there of one coming from afar to come unto the Lord, having heard of the wisdom in Christ Jesus, made unto us wisdom. And she proved that not half of Solomon's wisdom had been told her, and so we will find it to be so true too when we come unto Christ and learn of him. We read that before the Queen of Sheba departed to her own country, she left that present of gold, great riches, that which she had, she laid at the feet of Solomon. And so it will be that if we have truly heard of the word of God, spiritually, there'll be many things that we'll have to lay down. Our lives must be a living sacrifice itself. We are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We have Jonah, or Jonas as it is in the Greek. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. Now the Jews, they heard the word and demanded a sign. And the Lord said unto them that no sign would be given them, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. Now Jonah was in the belly of that whale, or great fish, 3 days and 3 nights. And there we see elsewhere in Scripture a type of our Lord's suffering. And being in the tomb, in his sacred humanity, in his body, but then rising again. Now when our Lord Jesus Christ came to the temple in John, we see recorded in John chapter 2. And he drove out the buyers and the sellers. And the money changers' tables were overturned. And he made a whip of small cords, so to drive them out. And we see there a revealing of the wrath of the Lamb against all unrighteousness, especially that in the very temple of God. Now they demanded of him a sign, that he had authority to do such things in the house of God. And he referred to destroy this temple, and in 3 days I must turn to it that I may quote it absolutely correctly. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Referring to his death and his resurrection. And there is the glorious sign, the powerful sign, that the words that we have before us is of authority. Declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. And the Lord Jesus Christ showed himself unto his disciples, and even unto Thomas, showed them his hands and his feet. And Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." But the Jews, they demanded a sign. Are you demanding a sign? Well, if you demand the sign like the Pharisees and the Jews, and our Lord did not give them a sign in his day, he won't give it to you in your day either. See, the Ninevites, the men of Nineveh, shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. There was a hearing of the word and keeping it in their repentance. Didn't just hear it and say, yes, that was a nice word. Solemn word it was. I'm afraid all too often we come to the house of God and say at the end, well, that was a solemn word that we heard. But is there a keeping of it in repentance thereafter? The Ninevites did. They heard a solemn word and there was repentance. There was a keeping of it. They didn't say to Jonah, show us a sign first and then we'll repent. Now where do we find the right asking for a sign? As Gideon, he asked the Lord for a sign and he was given it. And he had the fleece wet and the fleece dry. That was in respect of a personal calling. That calling that the Lord had for him. And the Lord was merciful in giving him those tokens. Similarly with Moses. There were those signs that it was the Lord's calling. We have that beautiful hymn, "Show me, Lord, a token for good." From Psalm 86 and verse 17. Show me a token for good. Some token of thy special love. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed because thou, Lord, hast holpen me and comforted me. Moses, he besought a token for good when he desired the Lord to see the Lord's glory. In his distress, after the Israelites had made the golden calf, and the Lord had said that he would not go up with them. And there the Lord desired above, there Moses desired above all things the Lord's presence. Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. And the Lord answered that prayer. He put him upon a rock, just Christ. He put him in the cleft of the rock. To see the wounded side of our Lord and his dying love. And there the Lord blessed him. There's a token for good. But if the word of the Lord is before you in respect of commandment or precept, we have, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. How dare we say to the Lord, well, give me a sign that I should obey one of the commandments of Scripture? And then assume, well, if there isn't a sign, I don't have to obey it. We may name various things in Scripture. Do we need a sign that we should show love one to another? Do we need some special token from the Lord as we read the word to help the poor or the needy or the fatherless? The only sign that there is that of Jonas, there referring to the Lord's death and suffering and resurrection. That is the sign that we must always have before us in the Spirit, to see the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, his dying love, his resurrection power, and that we may be mindful of this. As the apostle said to the Philippians, he said to the Hebrews, let this mind be upon you, that looking unto Jesus, considering his love, his compassion, and if we saw that, that's the glorious sign that we have before us in the Scriptures and revealed by the Spirit. Where the word of a king is, there is power. But if the word of the Lord is before you, clearest commandments of Scripture are before you. Pray for obedience. And indeed that you may walk in obedience to his honour and glory. But he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And those that keep the word of God, the Lord will never forsake. Although the Lord, and he will try it, that walking in the Lord's ways will be tried. In this world we shall have tribulation. They that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We shall suffer losses in this life, but what a glorious eternal gain in heaven. For those that follow him and walk with him in faith, casting all their care upon him, he shall never fail. For the Lord has shed his precious blood, and he is risen again, and all power is given unto him in heaven and earth. Therefore, let us rather hear the word of God and keep it in precious faith. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £755, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Dr. Sadler will address the Sunday School this afternoon. Mr. Chapman will preach on Friday evening. And next Lord's Day there will be a reading service in the morning, and God willing, Mr. Jim Ince will preach in the evening. And I remind you that the collections today are for our friends John and Ruth. And God willing, there will also be a meeting of the chapel trustees tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. Let us close with hymn 211. Now to the power of God supreme be everlasting honour given. He saves from hell, we bless his name. He calls our wandering feet to heaven. Hymn 211.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.